It's a great pleasure and a great honor to be here with you this morning and also, Lord willing, to be back here with you this afternoon. I'd like to join in with our brother that welcomed each and every member here and also the visitors here. We'd like to let you know that you're an honored guest and invite you back at each and every opportunity that you have here to worship with us at Manslick Road. Before I start, I'd like to thank each and every member that, you know, came up to me last time. It was the first time really I'd ever been a place and been fully embraced. And I want to commend each and every one of you for the love you have for each other and the love you have for God's Word. Also for the cards that you sent, warmed my heart, really made me motivated to continue in God's work. Tonight we're going to talk about the subject of patience. It's a sermon that I definitely need in my life, but this morning we're going to talk about the subject of adversity. Adversity is a sermon that you don't usually hear preached, but it's something that each and every one of us have had to deal with in our lives. Before we start, I'd like to begin by telling a story. See, one day a farmer's donkey fell into an abandoned well. The animal cried for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided the animal was old and the well needed to be covered up anyway, so it just wasn't enough for him to try to retrieve the donkey. He invited all of his neighbors to come over and help him, and they began and grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. Realizing what was happening, the donkey first cried and wailed horribly. Then a few shovelfuls later, he quieted down completely. The farmer peered down into the well and was astonished by what he saw. With every shovelful of dirt that hit his back, the donkey was doing something amazing. He would shake it off and take a step up on the new layer of dirt. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel the dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and take a step up. Pretty sure the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and trotted off, to the shock and astonishment of all the neighbors. The key of the moral of the story is life is going to shovel dirt on you, all kinds of dirt. The trick of getting out of the well is not letting it bury you, but to shake it off and take a step up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone. We can get out of the deepest well just by not stopping, never giving up, and shaking that dirt off and taking a step up. Adversity is something that we all deal with. This donkey in this story was dealing with a lot of adversity. They pretty much had given up on this donkey's life, and they were going to bury him alive. And he was screaming and crying and wailing. And today you might not do that physically, but emotionally, spiritually, some way in your life you might be screaming for help today. See, adversity is defined as a state of misfortune or affliction. It's also described as a stroke of ill fortune, as we just said, a calamitous event. There's trauma involved. There's a lot of things that go on with adversity. See, adversity is something that we all or have faced in times past. It's just not an individual thing. We see churches go through times of adversity where there's problems, where there's issues. Who do you look to in those times? That's something we're going to discuss today. I want to give you four keys this morning on how to handle adversity. And hopefully when you leave here today, you'll be prepared to face anything because you know who's on your side. Brother Bob talked about doing it God's way, doing it the right way. Today we're going to talk about that. The first step is we must follow our Savior's lead. When you're going to follow someone, why would you follow someone? Well, you know, if somebody has done what you are going through, has been what you're going through, would that not make you want to follow that individual more? If you want to talk about anybody that had to go through more adversity in their life than we can possibly imagine, it would be Jesus Christ. We're not crucified. We're not really torn down as much as Jesus had to go through for nothing that he did, as we talked about on the Lord's table. But for each and everything that I do in my life, Jesus went to the cross and dealt with adversity for me. Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 2 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, Jesus went through adversity, but why did Jesus go through adversity? Jesus went through adversity because he knew what was at stake. He knew he could put his trust in God to get him through whatever he was going to go through. What about 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13? I love this passage that Peter wrote. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed." There is nothing on this earth, no pain, no struggle, nothing that compares to the glory of heaven. Everything on this earth, anything I face, I can know at the end of the day when I'm standing before God and He tells me to enter in if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, that's going to outweigh and it's going to be totally worth it, no matter what I have to go through in my life. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 11 at verse 23. "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." The first step to dealing with adversity is believing that you can get through it. Not believing in yourself, but believing that there is a God in heaven that has dealt with people for a long time. We can read in scriptures where apostles, where prophets, where Jesus himself had to go through adversity, had to deal with struggles. And what did they do? They looked to God for guidance. So the four keys to handling adversity. First, we must follow our Savior's lead. He's led the way. He's given us a path to follow that we can handle adversity. We must focus on our eternal goal, as I said. Don't focus on the problems here. We do it all the time. If I gave you a piece of paper and said, "Hey, write down all the problems in your life," we could write for days about things that bother us, about things we're not happy with. But could we get a piece of paper and write down all the blessings that we have? See, handling adversity is not focusing on the situation. It's focusing on the outcome. See, we must focus on our lives. At the end of the day, the outcome is what's important. It's important that we focus on our eternal goal. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, "May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." As I said, we're going to talk about patience tonight. Patience is something that you have to have when you're dealing with adversity. Look what Paul says, though. Who are you strengthened in? You're not strengthened in yourself. I'm not going to get through things because I am strong. I'm going to get through things through whose glorious might? God is with me when I suffer. Just like God was with Jesus when He suffered. You see, I need to focus more on Hebrews chapter 9 at verse 27 than the things that are going on in my life. What does Hebrews chapter 9 at verse 27 says? "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." It's not going to matter what I have had to deal with on this earth. It is not going to matter what anybody says about me, what people say about me behind my back. It's not going to matter when the day is done. All that is going to matter on the day of judgment is how I am in the sight of God. It's all that's going to matter for you as well. It's all that's going to matter for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, something that just gives me great comfort. Paul wrote, "We do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." We look at our problems, and we view how big our problems are. I encourage you today, look at how big our God is compared to our problems. As Paul said, look at that eternal glory that awaits each and every one of us if we have obeyed Christ and put Christ on in our lives. And we're living in the Spirit and living in the Word. It's all worth it. Paul wrote in Romans 8 at verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." If you've missed heaven, you've missed it all. Heard it thousands of times. If you've missed heaven, you've missed it all. I'm telling you today, if you're suffering, you're hurting, you're doubting, you're angry, or you're upset today, don't lose sight of that eternal glory. No one, no family, no sin, no relationship is worth missing heaven. When we have those emotions and we lose sight of that eternal goal, our soul is in danger. Today, I want you to let everything go and give it all to God. Don't let adversity rule your life. Let God rule your life. So we've had two keys already. We must follow our Savior's lead. We must focus on our eternal goal. And number three, we must have the right attitude about the adversity we face. Bob had mentioned attitude in our class in the auditorium this morning. Attitude is everything. If you look at everything from a negative connotation, a negative attitude, then you're going to get a negative ending. You look at things from the right attitude, you look at things from God's Word, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see glory. You're going to see victory. We have victory in Jesus. Romans 8 at verse 31, Paul wrote, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You might have heard the saying, ducks quack, eagles soar. You see, ducks quack and complain. There was an analogy used of a cab driver going above and beyond to supply the needs of his customers. He doubled and even quadrupled his earnings by this quote. This quote could be beneficial to you and I, as well as in adversity, hardships. We shouldn't complain or quack like a duck, but we should trust in God's plan for our lives and soar like an eagle. Don't complain about what's going on. Jesus didn't complain about what was going on. What did Jesus say to God when he was suffering? "Your will, not mine." I need to say that more often. I need to look to God when I'm doing something. What do you want? The life of a Christian is turning aside from serving you and serving God. James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." It's all worth it. James chapter 1 and verse 12 tells me, "Stand strong, Chris, insert your name. Blessed is Chris, blessed is whoever. Your name can be inserted there." If we remain steadfast in times of trouble, we get that crown of life. That's all that it's about. James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I don't know about you, but if I'm doing something, the best way for me to learn is experience. And there are things that have happened in my life that have prepared me for the rest of my life that allow me to be able to help other people that are in my shoes, the shoes I had been in before. And that's what we should do. We should be there for other people because there's adversity in everyone's life. And if you've had an experience with somebody, reach out and help. James tells me, this trial that I'm going through, what I'm suffering with, it produces character. You're a changed person after you deal with something that is traumatic in your life, and you really don't want to go back to that situation again. Let it finish its work. Let God use you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." How can Paul write that? You know, we see over and over again in Paul's ministry where he was persecuted, he was stoned, run out of cities, mocked, falsely accused. How can Paul sit there and say this? Because Paul had perspective. Paul realized that public opinion did not define Paul. Paul is like we should all be. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. On the day of judgment, all that is going to matter is what God thinks. You see, a positive attitude is God loves me and He will use anything in my life for a greater purpose. That is something that I want to be able to say in any situation. No matter if I'm sad, happy, mad, glad, God is using this for something. And I have to trust in Him that He's using it. See, a negative attitude, we see this all the time. Well, this is God's fault. He doesn't love me. It's the exact opposite. We see over and over again in Scripture where people suffered. People were in despair. People had absolutely no one to turn to but God. And guess what? God was there for them. And God is there for each and every one of us. If we're Christians here today and all those that want to become Christians and submit their life to God, Jesus wants to help you as well. So the four keys to handling adversity, we must follow our Savior's lead. Like I said, Jesus has been there. Jesus has done this. See, we must focus on our eternal goal. Heaven is greater than anything we face. We must have the right attitude about adversity we face. And number four, we must realize that our God is with us. Sometimes we say, I have to deal with all this on my own. We'll lay in bed and we'll lose sleep over a situation instead of praying. Today, if you don't get anything else from the message, God is with each and every one of us if we are Christians and He is willing to aid us. How often have we seen that in Scripture? What about Joshua chapter 1 at verse 9? Joshua is one of the greatest leadership stories in all of Scripture because Joshua led by example. What did God say to Joshua? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's what I want my life. That's what I want my life to reflect. Joshua was a great leader. You see people being great leaders in Scripture. Why? Because they allow God to lead them. And God was with Joshua, even in times of distress. Don't be dismayed. Don't be frightened. Why? Because I'm with you. And He's with us today. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, one of my personal favorite scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. What does this say? I'm not leaning on me in situations anymore. I'm not taking matters into my own hands. I'm allowing God to do what God has told me to allow Him to do. That's the way it should be. We shouldn't be casting judgment on the entire world. That is God's job. We shouldn't retaliate when people do bad things to us because it's God's job to handle that. There's nothing else you get from today is that God is with you. God is a just God. God is fair. God will deal with the things that we need help with. But the thing is, you have to allow Him to help. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 9, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is an apostle of God. Paul did so many great things. And what does Paul say? I'm weak in areas. I struggle in areas. We don't have to hide it. We all have a weakness, a few weaknesses. Me, I have a lot of weaknesses. Guess what? That gives God the opportunity to fill those voids for me. If I can't do it, I know that God can do it. Jeremiah chapter 29 at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants what's best for me. People can try to tear me down. People can try to hurt me. But guess what? At the end of the day, God wants what's best for me. And in all reality, at the end of the day, His opinion is the only one that truly matters in any situation. See, four keys to handling adversity. See, we must follow our Savior's lead. We need to follow Jesus' lead. Jesus has led the way. We must focus on our eternal goal. It outweighs everything we have to deal with. We must have the right attitude about the adversity we face. Realize God is bigger than our problems. bigger than any situation. We must realize that God is with each and every one of us. He's left His Word here for us to follow. Psalm chapter 118, verses 5 through 6. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is something that I hope you take with you today. It doesn't matter whatever situation you're in. They cannot take your joy. They cannot take your salvation away from you. What can man do to me? See, God can handle all your problems. God can handle all my problems. He can set us free. And in times of distress, as His children, He will aid and assist each and every one of us. For those that aren't Christians here today, as a Christian standing up here, I would tell you that this is the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. David wrote in the Psalms that he could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and he could fear no evil. Why? Because God was with him. You don't have to walk through this life alone. Maybe you're a Christian today and you feel alone. I'm here to tell you that you're not. These individuals that meet here as a congregation are here for you, and most importantly, God Himself is here for you. The plan of salvation is very simple. God would not give us something complicated and expect us to figure it out. God listed 5 simple, easy steps for us to receive salvation. This is not a man-made creed. This is what Scripture says to do. We have to hear the good news of salvation, which you have heard today, that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for each and every one of our sins, and rose from the dead, giving us that hope. We read in Romans 10 at verse 17, we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe with all of your heart that He's the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You have to repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. That's not a 360. You go back to doing what you were doing. It's a complete 180. It's a change of life resulting in a change of action. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And the part that everybody seems to mess up, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's commanded that we're baptized in Acts 2 of verse 38. But that's not the end of the road there. John wrote in Revelation 2:10 that we have to live a faithful life until death or until Christ comes again. And the people John was writing to was dealing with a lot of adversity, a lot of problems. And what did he tell them? Stand firm, that crown awaits you. As we said, this invitation is just not for those that have failed to respond to the gospel before. This invitation is for each and every one of us. It's something that we all need in our lives. I know I definitely need it. And as I said, God wants to help. The question this morning is, will you allow Him to help you? If you need to respond in any way, we ask that you come forward now as together we stand and sing.